In 1998, the series Sex and the City premiered on HBO with a script by creator Darren Star based on a book by Candace Bushnell. For 94 episodes through 2004, the series was a hit and a star turn for Sarah Jessica Parker. Now there's a movie, and we get to see how the four gal pals at the center of the series have aged and changed. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
A much-anticipated movie is opening this week, and oh boy, and oh girl, what a rush. Because instead of comic book fan geeks fighting for tickets, there are women lining up in awesome numbers. It's Sex and the City, the motion picture. If you love the TV show, it's a joyous 2.5-hour wallow. If you hate it, think Chinese water torture. Now, I love the show, but I hated it once, so I see both sides. They can be very annoying, these overprivileged materialistic women who depend on men for their self-esteem while also treating them as objects. On the other hand, what a hoot to watch women for once doing the objectifying and talking dirty, sleeping around, and wearing fabulous clothes. The movie opens 3 years after the series, and in case you missed the finale, or the show, newspaper relationships columnist Carrie Bradshaw, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, brings you up to date over the credits. Miranda, Cynthia Nixon, lives in Brooklyn, which here means Siberia, with her kid and mousy husband. Charlotte, Kristen Davis, and her hubby have adopted a Chinese girl, now a toddler, whose presence makes it hard to babble with her friends about sex. Samantha, Kim Cattrall, is wilting from monogamy with her hunk-a-burnin' Hollywood lover boy. Carrie has finally settled into the arms of Chris Noth's Mr. Big and can afford even more shoes. But Miranda wonders whether the new, shared penthouse apartment comes with a hidden price.
So you're keeping your own place, right?
Miranda, I haven't figured out the details yet, but I'm a smart girl. I'm sure I'll figure out something that I'm very comfortable with.
I just want to be sure that you're being smart here.
And I love you for that, but for now, can't you stop worrying for me and just go ahead and feel what I want you to feel? Jealous. Oh, jealous of me living in this gorgeous penthouse in Manhattan.
All right, I'm jealous.
Oh, thanks.
You live in real estate heaven, and I live in Brooklyn. New York Magazine said Brooklyn is the new Manhattan.
Oh,
whoever wrote that lives in Brooklyn.
I won't spoil what happens, but the wedding of Carrie and Big midway through is a heartstopper, a farce without mirth, where cell phones and limos function as agents of the unconscious. Parker is spectacular. She's come in for monstrous derision lately, maybe inevitable, given how she's pushed on billboards as the personification of sultriness. But on screen, you can see the fragility beneath the poses. She's a little girl dressing up, wriggling from one eye-popping outfit to the next, elated, but likely to wither in the face of rejection or self-doubt. Of course, the heart of Sex and the City is not any one character, but all four together. And it's possible the friendship is the biggest romantic fantasy of all. They complement one another perfectly. They're never too competitive. But what an inspiring fantasy it is, an haute couture designed for living. If Cattrall's high-style vulgarity borders on camp, it doesn't drown out her down-to-earth moments of pain. Nixon makes Miranda's prickly ambivalence so real it's wrenching. And her bitterness over the sacrifices she made for her marriage is the movie's bleak subplot. The balance between dark and light tips to the dark, which makes Kristen Davis's old-fashioned ditzy double takes all the more welcome. The movie was written and directed by Michael Patrick King, an executive producer and writer on the show, and the hetero men are lesser entities, and the product placements irritating. The pacing sags in the last half hour. But when you're this invested, it barely matters. This is what the show's finale should have been, the ultimate exploration, as these women settle edgily into their 40s, of independence versus commitment. The fairy tale trappings of modern romance smashing against a sobering reality, which is where those pink cocktails come in. I hazarded to a friend that Sex and the City theater lines would be great places to meet babes, and she said, "Not so fast, slobberpuss. There's going to be serious female bonding there." She's probably right. I'd be much less cowed by overweight teenage boys with plastic lightsabers than roving bands of cosmo-pickled women finally getting their day in the multiplex.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.